say to everybody out there, thanks for listening. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and some other schmuck. Some Caesar salad-loving loser.
Men's wieners.
That's right, baby. I love that on Twitter now, when something comes up for somebody that they like that they read, they just quote it and say, I know that I'm hard, at Dusty Likens.
I know that I'm hard.
I get mentions, and it's like, I know that I'm hard. And I look over, I'm like, oh, is this?
I don't think you want to be mentioned in those categories, brother. I'll be honest with you. Some dude, you know, waking up in Olathe this morning, man, thinking about things, and then says that. You're the first thing on his mind. Hey.
I know that I'm hard.
That's right. You'll see it throughout the day. So let me ask you guys a question. Who tweeted this?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
37 minutes ago.
All right.
Mac, you ready to play this game?
Very ready.
Okay. Binkley or Mac?
Okay.
The NFL is back tonight, people, at 5:23 in the morning.
I'm going to guess Adam Schefter is in on that one. I would normally say Jay Binkley, but Mac's in his 20s still, so he gets excited about preseason football.
Mac, you got to guess who tweeted that at 5:23 this morning?
I'm going to guess it's Mac, because only somebody in their 20s would be excited about watching Trey Lance play tonight. Even Binkley's not moving the needle on this one.
Mac's awesome.
May have been yours truly.
You tweeted that before you kissed your fiance goodbye this morning.
Yeah, that's true.
What did Mac do? Mac tweeted this before he did what this morning? Put his draws on, woke up, grabbed the phone. Football is back, baby.
I mean, how excited was he to wake up this morning and realize that he's got Trey Lance and half of the Chargers making the trip versus a quarter of the Lions tonight? And Mac is settling into this thing, right?
I know that I'm hard.
That's right, baby.
He's going to have himself game food. He's going to have two TVs going. There's going to be some stat cast he's going to be watching with Field Yates. And then he's going to have the other game on the regular TV on NBC, getting excited about that. Like, I mean, it is a day for Mac.
Stay
away from that, dude. Buy him a couple of packs of Virginia Slims and back the F away.
Locked.
Preseason football game number one, brother. Let's go.
This is like game zero. This isn't even game one.
Yeah.
You need like a chastity belt.
Yeah, this is week zero. This is the last time, the last Thursday until January 15th, where you're not going to have to worry about not having some sort of football game, right? Last time until March where you don't have to worry about not having a football game. And we are 36 days away from the start of the NFL season, which is that Chiefs game Friday night in Brazil. We're just 36 days away from that, like 149 days away from Christmas for those scoring at home, and 192 days away from when the Chiefs raise Lombardi again. Not that I'm counting down. I did see a tweet that had all that broken down this morning, so I stole it from them. But yeah, we get football back. Mac's excited about it, and I'm going to set the over-under at 8.5 of how many plays you watch tonight.
Oh, I'll take the over.
You take the over on that.
Yeah, okay. It'll be... what, six on the first drive, or at least three?
Oh, I'm thinking a three and out and a punt. That's four. The next drive, three and out and a punt. That's eight. Are you sticking around after that?
So basically, your bet is, does a team get a first down?
Well, and you have that as well, too. But you could also get a first down, turn it over on the next play. Somebody else has another turnover. Boom, you turn the game off.
First play of the game, snapped over Trey Lance's head and murder, she wrote.
Yes. That's right. Okay.
So possible.
Trey Lance looking just like Trey Lance out there doing his thing. And so he has an opportunity to put stuff on tape. I'm sure Mac has got that angle. It's a great opportunity for Trey Lance to put some stuff on tape tonight.
They still call it tape?
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah. They do.
They're film. People still go with film, which is so antiquated.
The film.
You know, I remember having classes at KU, and it's like certain things always stick with you, and like, you'll take it forever. And it was always like, you've got to stop saying film. This is not film. We're not using film anymore. It's tape. We're putting this on tape, and people still say film, and nobody even uses the film. Mm. You hear it all the time from these kids. Yeah, look at the film.
Oh, guys my age, dude. I'm like, we've never even touched film.
You never even saw film, on, right? Like, did you even have film cameras? Are you old enough to have that?
Yeah. But not
retro style like today, where people are going back to.
I'm barely old enough to where my dad would take the little tube to like Walmart and then drop it off and then go back the next day and you got the packet full of like all the little pictures. Like barely old enough for that.
Barely for that. See, Costco was the big thing for me. I've got so many pictures of like pre-2007 in boxes. I started going through a lot of these boxes with all these damn baseball cards that I've got now trying to see.
Nice.
I'm finding Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards like it's nobody's business.
I'm so sorry.
you apologizing to Jen? Was
everybody. She came up to me the other night. She goes, they're all over the kitchen counter. And Bobby goes, oh, they're everywhere. We're not getting into this, yeah. But I've got a few that have some money. But and then here comes Alex and I just hoarding like crows. Exactly. Like, yeah. Mine? Which one do you want to talk about? Yeah. You want to talk about this one? Because this has value.
I've got plenty of Garbage Pail Kids, too, that hold value. I've seen on Electronic Bay, people are paying money for these damn Garbage Pail Kids. I'm going to sell everything. Maybe I can pay off one of the kids' cars
by doing this.
That's kind of where I am on this. I was talking to you about that at the ball game the other night. Like, these rookie prospects, I'm going through all these cards that I had from when I was a kid. And some of them that you have, like, or they're supposed to be these rookies, they never amounted to anything. And so I'm thinking about you with all these cards that you have, and people are like, do we hold on to sell every one of them? If something is worth value right now, today, sell it, because you could end up holding a card that you think is going to be good, and at the end of the day, it's really nobody. But man, that was a rated rookie, or that was a silver slugger, or that was somebody big at that time. I think with the baseball card market, man, very few you should hold on to. But the rest of them, man, if somebody's like a hot rookie right now, sell that son of a gun before they go cold.
Right. Speaking of going cold, the offense was cold yesterday for the Royals, but the pitching was hot.
Hot, yeah.
Nine different guys in out of the bullpen.
Is that it? I thought it was
nine or ten.
I don't know. Like every other,
was nine.
Yeah. Every other batter's a new pitcher. Rolled out there.
Ready to count. Zerpa. Bolin,
two,
Shriver,
three,
Clark,
four,
Hunter,
five,
Harvey, Cruz,
six,
Ursay,
seven,
Estevez,
eight,
Long,
nine,
10 scoreless innings.
How about that? That's nine
pitchers used in a shutout, which ties an MLB record. You don't even need a starter.
Never saw anything like that. How about Joey Wentz pitching brilliantly, too, and then getting out-dueled by whatever that was in the bullpen yesterday, the march of pitchers out to the mound yesterday. I was thinking about this also, too, when you're seeing a bullpen game, and this is a team still under 500, but, foe involved kind of in the playoff race.
One game.
You're still under 500. Come at me when we're over 500. We can talk about potentially being in a playoff race. But with the trade deadline being here, now with the pitching staff being a mess, is it more important to get a starter, or is it more important to get a bat?
I don't know. You have Dallas Keuchel in AAA, so got a pitcher there. No, I don't know, man. I think they're done with moves, if I had to be honest with you.
I don't know. I mean, we've got to 5 o'clock today, right?
Somebody had asked Q, they were going to wait until the trade deadline was over to take the flight to Canada.
5 o'clock. Yeah, that's a good question.
Because they asked him yesterday. I think it was either, I forget, it was on Twitter. Somebody asked Q yesterday when they were doing the interview with the manager in the dugout.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, we're going to wait until the trade deadline's over until we fly to Toronto.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, their game's tomorrow night, so they got plenty of time. They have the off day today, and everybody's going to be watching because there were trades overnight. There were trades.
Their flight is scheduled at 5:30 to Toronto tonight. So half hour after the trade deadline.
We're out.
Well, they usually leave about 4 if they have an off day, so you delay it about 90 minutes. But you don't want to have somebody stuck in Toronto now, and they got to get back into the United States if they get traded to somebody too. So you don't want to have that go on. But everybody else, if you're traded, you meet me somewhere and we'll figure it out. I think it's more about if we trade somebody, we don't want that cat having to go, and then clear customs and have to do all that and come back, but it's smart. Yeah. It obviously is the smart move to do and kind of see where you are. But I mean, if they're done making moves, and they're definitely not a playoff team, they don't have enough right now to be considered a real legit playoff team. You've got to go out there and improve your ball club. And if you're going to say you're a playoff team, you've got to go out there and add to this, because a great fun win yesterday. But one run, I mean, that was it. That's all you scored. I mean, again, with, runners in scoring position, you had opportunities early, or not early in the game, but late in the game, you had some opportunities and you didn't come through. And so, and even in this series, you've got to still have more bats in the lineup, and your pitching staff right now is a question mark. I mean, you're rolling out a bullpen game yesterday. In a very important game, a very important game yesterday. And I don't want to hear about analytics, and it worked out, but it was also the Braves, and they're going through it as well. But you can't roll out a bullpen game this late in the season. So do you go out and get a starter? Do you go out and get a bat? Has it kind of shifted right now for the Royals? But I feel like if they don't make a move today and get better somewhere along there for either starting pitching or bat, I can't call them a playoff team. You can't let this trade deadline pass and not go make a move if you're quote-unquote all in on this thing. So you got to go out there and get something done today.
Go ahead.
Let's just say it's frustrating because they're fourth, I think, in the MLB in runs per game this month.
Just keep winning. That's all I care about. Just keep winning. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's at this point in the year. I don't care if you want to complain about the offense or pitching. If they win, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters at this time.
Three games out of the wild card, a half game in second place. I mean, whatever that means. But just keep winning. I don't care if it's nine pitchers throw a shutout in a bullpen game, because guess what? You're probably going to have another bullpen game in the next five or four or five games because you still don't have that pitching spot, at least for now. We'll see what they do.
That's why I wonder if they're going and doing, you know, doing moves from a pitching side, because I think right now, I think pitching is just as important as finding a bat for your lineup. I think you need both right now. I think you need to find a starter. And I saw a tweet from Rob Breton yesterday, not calling somebody washed, shockingly enough, but he said, he goes, I wouldn't hate a trade for a Michael Lorenzen type of pitcher, like a back of the end rotation pitcher that you can rely on every fifth day to go out there. And I think that's kind of where you're looking right now. You're not going to go out and get, you know, a stud top of the rotation pitcher, but I still think you need somebody in there to pitch every fifth day for you right now. It's especially battling for a playoff spot. I'm just not a fan of bullpen games, but that's just me.
Yeah. So we have Royals off today, trade deadline today, first NFL games back today. We got the announcement that the queen of legs herself, Miss Carrie Underwood, 13th season.
How about that? 13 years.
I didn't know it was that long. I thought it was like 10. I know that's not really a huge difference, but 13 seasons. We're going to see waiting all day for Sunday night again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then be sure to check your Celsius energy drinks.
Yeah, my God. How does this happen?
I don't know, but if I'm a lawyer, I'm like,
Yeah. Especially like, what if you're like a recovering alcoholic and you're going for a Celsius energy drink and it's loaded with High Noon? You know, like it's so bad, man. That's like something you can't mess up. I was actually out about a month ago with a friend of mine who was a recovering alcoholic, and he ordered a drink and they gave him the alcoholic version and he took a sip and not cool, right?
Like that's very not cool.
That's not a cool thing. And so that's immediately where my mind went. There's a lot of people in this world who have gone through a lot to get sober, right? Yep. And they can't have this kind of stuff in your life. And you make that kind of mistake. I know people make mistakes, but that's a fireable offense right there. What if a kid had that too, you know?
100%.
Welcome to life.
God.
Whoa, I'm really buzzed off this energy drink. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah. Let me take a sip of that. Oh my God, that's booze.
Call it Crescent instead of Celsius because it's High Noon. Anyways, so yeah, football back tonight, and that means that we get that much closer to watching this season start. But
it's a 2-day.
Yeah, some interesting stuff about what will be the next year's class of Hall of Fame, and also, you remember Gilbert Arenas, Agent Zero? Yeah, well, he's in the news. We'll explain why, and it ain't good here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
One day away from a Friday, which is really the greatest day of the week. Warmer or cooler weather out there today. Felt a little better getting into your car this morning instead of walking out into a just choking blanket of heat.
Felt good last night. You could start to kind of feel the humidity dissipate, and it start to kind of cool down a little bit out there last night. So hopefully we're in the area now of kind of, maybe it broke a little bit, because I looked at the 10-day forecast, not much over in the 80s for the next 10 days. So hopefully we get a little bit of a break. And I was watching a video from a camp with Kareem Hunt yesterday, and he's talking about the heat and how hot it was and, you know, all that. I'm thinking about those guys up there. I'm like, God, I hope this is the last time they've got to deal with that. He goes, this is so hot, I've never had to put water on my legs before to cool them off. And I'm like, damn, that's how hot it was up there at training camp the other day. Woo!
Yeah, it's going to feel very nice up there in St. Joe today. And don't forget, this weekend, Mac and I will do a show on Saturday from 9 to noon.
Woo!
And then Mac will be solo from 9 to 11 on Sunday.
Yes. You get Binkley on Sunday, talk a little football.
Oh, we'll have some Bink action on Sunday, 9 to 11:30. It's exciting.
Breaking camp with Jay Binkley.
Mm-hmm.
And then your fantasy football show starts a week from what, this Sunday?
August 10th.
There you go.
August 10th, 17th, 24th. We're off Labor Day weekend. But yeah, I'll get you all your draft strategies you need to know as you gear up.
J.J. McCarthy, top 10 fantasy quarterback.
I know.
Wait. Are you being serious?
Yeah, a lot
top
of people
10
like
fantasy
it.
Quarterback. All right, let's talk through this real fast.
Okay.
That's belief in the head coach. I mean, but even with Justin Jefferson being banged up, you know, like, I don't know. But that to me right there screams the fantasy world is in love with Kevin O'Connell. And rightfully so. Look, he's put together, this is a big year for Kevin O'Connell, right? He can go one of two ways. He can just be another guy, or if J.J. McCarthy plays well and they get double-digit wins and they find themselves in the playoffs, Kevin O'Connell immediately becomes a top five coach in the NFL.
He's the truth.
And absolutely he is. And I don't think there is any arguing with that. If they go to the playoffs this year, and he does it again with J.J. McCarthy. He did it with Sam Darnold. He did it with Kirk Cousins. If he takes this guy to the playoffs this year, you cannot exclude Kevin O'Connell from top five coach conversation in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the Comeback Player of the Year Award nominee, J.J. McCarthy, as well.
What's he coming back? He doesn't play. But you can't have a. You know, what are we coming back from? There's no baseline here. So baseline.
I don't make the rules.
So. I know, but I mean, there's no baseline. On, but if he's one of the top odds for that, and he's one of the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks out there, mm-hmm. again, more of a tribute to what people think of Kevin O'Connell. So I'm interested to see how he coaches that team this year. That's gonna be a cool case study this year. I watch a lot of Minnesota. I think,
especially with Jordan Addison being suspended for 3 games.
Yeah. He'll be suspended. Exactly. It's like, okay, JJ and TJ Hawkinson, here we go.
Yeah.
if Justin Jefferson ain't out
there. TJ Hawkinson, big sleeper tight end this year in the draft. Even though he's a big name at tight end, but I think a lot of people forget about him because they go for the Laportas, the Kelseys, the Bowers, the guys like that. You think about what Hawkinson could be in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Dynamite.
Especially when you got a rookie quarterback that needs a big target. Hey, who's that? Boom. All right.
Check down, bang.
I think Viking fans are excited about him, too. I saw a Viking fan driving around town a couple weeks ago, and the license plate was a Kansas license plate, and it was JJ2JJ, and it had a Viking plate frame around it. And I'm like, I really like that. Like that's really cool. Like
you're
buying in. And again, you're buying in because you believe in your coach. And I don't know anything about, JJ McCarthy or how he's going to play this year, but man, a lot of people are falling in love. And again, it's a tribute to Kevin O'Connell right now, man.
How long until he gets comped to Joe Burrow?
Oh, jeez.
We're going to see it. They look similar. They do.
I don't think JJ McCarthy is as cutthroat as
Joe Burrow is, right? Like, you look at Joe Burrow, that guy's an ice cold, like, witch. I don't get that same feeling from JJ McCarthy.
Not yet. But Burrow's got Chase, JJ's got JJ. Both kind of look similar. Both kind of, swaggy.
They play Joe Burrow week 3.
Oh, okay. So there it is. Week 3.
Week 3. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, we'd be remiss real fast before we get into some of this other stuff. This Zap Licky got cut yesterday, I guess.
Oh, man.
I mean, yeah. I know it's a sad day for all of us here on the show. We were making a big deal out of this guy yesterday.
Our guy, man.
But we got to pour a little out for I don't know your first name, Zap Licky, the backup punter that was cut by the Chiefs yesterday. Very sad day.
Very sad.
I don't know. I guess I was more sad that Ariza won the job that easily. How bad was this Zap Licky guy?
He was my guy. Everybody's got their camp, darling.
Yep.
Zap Licky was my guy.
Mine's Josh Simmons.
Yeah. That's nice. Really stepping out of the lot.
I mean, we know he's probably going to be pretty good. It's better than having Jake Bringingstool.
Mm.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I really wish Zap Licky would have gotten a chance in a game.
Yeah.
Because I know that, Matt Ariza, the God, you're not God. He's going to punt a ball 75 yards out of the end zone.
That's right.
For a net of 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Zap Licky might have been able to, hit that little corner at the 5.
You never know.
And now we will be sad today because Zap Licky is not going to be on this roster.
Mm-hmm. Ariza probably went home yesterday, took a big sigh of relief knowing he doesn't have any competition anymore.
I wonder if Ariza went to his locker after the word and just says, "You don't mess with God. I am the punning God. You are just a Zap Licky out of here. So, see you later, Mr. Zap Licky."
BBL Stinky.
Yeah.
Hardly knew you, man. I wonder if he's going to catch on with another team.
100%, and we will follow that young man's career until the day I die.
We'll get him on.
Do we know his first name?
Eddie.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Eddie.
Okay, I was going to go with Hunter.
Big Ed.
I like that, too.
Hunter Zap Licky. His name is Ed.
Yeah, Eddie.
Eddie Zap Licky. That fits, too.
Yeah.
I think I grew up with an Eddie Zap Licky.
Like, how cool would a Zap Licky jersey be in 10 years from now? Somebody goes, who's that?
What number was he?
0 now.
Yeah, I know. Right, like, what number do you get if you're getting a Zap Licky jersey at Dash?
It's just an asterisk. Just Zap Licky. Speaking of careers that we have followed, at one point this guy was, the best player in the NBA for like a year.
I don't know about that, but he was really good.
He was top 3.
He was great.
One of the best shooters. No pun intended.
Great score.
Yeah. Gilbert Arenas, at one point in his career, there's a gun in a duffel bag in his locker. Now his locker is probably going to have bars surrounding it.
Did you see his jail release video yesterday?
Not good.
Dancing when you're being released from jail? Like, not a good look, bro.
I mean, I would, if I was getting released from jail, I'd probably do a cartwheel, and I can't even do one.
He's not getting, like, it's not over. It's just beginning
for him.
It's not a good look. No. Like, you do that after you get, you know, acquitted of something. Like, you know, on Seinfeld when they let Kramer out and all those. Like you got acquitted of something. You can go ahead and do your thing. This guy's got to go, like, to trial now, and there's a big federal case against this gentleman. Probably not worth dancing when you get out of jail for that one.
Yeah, Gilbert Arenas was accused of operating illegal gambling businesses at his Encino home. Great movie, Encino Man. Shout out Brendan Fraser. But this is the report via ABC on Gilbert Arenas.
But what federal prosecutors are alleging is that he has been running this high-level illegal poker operation out of a home in the Encino area of L.A., and not just having a couple of buddies come by and play poker, but that this was a very well-planned-out, well-organized operation with five other co-conspirators involved in this, including a member of an Israeli transnational crime group, according to federal prosecutors. But they say that this was something where they had hired women who would help out in the operation and give what they call companionship to those who were playing in the game, that they had armed security guards, that they had chefs that were hired for all of these, and that a lot of money was involved. They had security guards to make sure the wrong people weren't getting into all of this. They had a rake, a fee, the house charges. So they say this was well organized. All were arrested today, a number of agencies involved. Arenas was arrested today as well, facing charges. And if convicted, everybody involved could get 5 years in federal prison.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's not good. And not a good look
just
for
there
Mr. Gilbert Arenas. Yeah,
just
right.
Help.
So now you've got that angle, too, which I had
lost
no
$10,000
idea.
$10,000 on poker. Come here, Mr. Arenas.
Yeah,
there's
right.
There's a back room.
Rough. Yeah. So not only are you running an illegal poker ring, you have ladies there for companionship as well. And so I'm sure there's going to be a lot that's going to be made, obviously, with that angle of things. So Gilbert Arenas is facing a lot right now. That's why I just don't think getting out of jail last night is worthy of dancing down the LAPD steps. But, hey, that you do you. I mean, that's fine. There's a lot of pendings here for Mr. Arenas right now. Kind of reminded me of the movie Molly's Game. I don't know if you guys saw that. And it was from Molly Bloom. She was a skier out in Colorado. And her brother was Orlando Bloom, right? And so she got into skiing and was doing all that and I guess got injured and then needed something to do and started this poker ring. And it ended up being huge poker games with big time celebrities and all this stuff. And eventually there were some Russians involved as well with the Russian mob, I guess. And it all ended up, it's a great movie. And it all ended up getting busted up and, you know, they did some time and whatnot, but that's exactly what this reminded me of, like a real life Molly's Game, but Molly's Game was a real life. So this is kind of like, this has been done before. People have gotten busted. People have done jail time for this. Learn from other people's mistakes and don't do this kind of stuff. I mean, that's just kind of where it is.
Me.
Yeah, right. Exactly, though. But that's the problem with this is Gilbert Arenas, who, in case you're scoring at home, admitted to running 60 red lights in 4 months and got away with every one of them because he kept his dealer plates on the car so nobody could see who he was.
Smart.
He was arrested in 2013 for illegal fireworks by the LAPD.
Wow.
So he's not exactly, you know, worried about getting caught in any of this. The athletes sometimes just push the limit because that's what they do their whole lives. They're just constantly pushing the limit and they don't think anything applies to them. And then, you know, the teams just acquiesce and do everything for these athletes and they find themselves in this trouble. And now Gilbert Arenas is in some serious trouble for this alleged illegal gambling ring that he has going on there.
The way it got busted, and I know Bob said, have you seen the movie Blow with Johnny Depp?
Yes.
Like, the way this got busted is like the way the movie ends, when he goes to that one last like meeting and they're all in the room and he's sitting there and all of a sudden he just like looks around and he's like, oh, shoot. And they all, like, the SWAT comes in. I feel like that's how this happened.
It's always that one last time, right? It's always that final.
Do it,
right, yeah.
But you do it because you can't stop the urge.
Right.
And then you get there and you're like, this looks like, that's it. I'm screwed.
You're screwed, yeah. And so, I mean, Gilbert Arenas has got an uphill battle here, man. I mean, this is going to be fun. I'm going to be honest with you, fun to watch this whole trial play out and see ultimately what happens or if they settle beforehand. But this is going to be one, man. This is a warning. Don't run an illegal poker game. They'll eventually get you, especially at these stakes.
So tonight you were reminded earlier that is the Hall of Fame game, Detroit versus the Chadges.
It's today.
Better believe it. If Worms had arms than birds would hate their machine guns. But that means that this year is in. The Hall of Fame members will be in this year. Next year's slate, oh boy, they've got to do some picking here.
Well, this is, I think for me, I'm looking at this list and we know all these names. Doesn't mean they're a Hall of Famer because we know the names on the list. And that's what I like about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They're whittling down process. It's an intense process that these guys go through. And so, I mean,
the top four on this list are surefire Hall of Famers.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. I mean, Jason Witten to me, I guess.
100% he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's one for me that I'll always be wrong on. You know, he just doesn't do anything for me. But that's just me. Again, right. everybody can have their opinion. He's just one of those guys for me. I'm like, I'm sure he is a Hall of Famer, but for me, he's just never really moved the needle. I don't know why, but he hasn't.
Probably because he played for Dallas.
Probably.
Also not a needle move. Like, he didn't have huge plays. He just played for a long time, was really good, was really consistent.
No championships or anything like that and whatnot. No memorable moments, but you're right. Played a very, very long time in the NFL and then went back after he failed as a broadcaster.
He did so bad.
He joins the list along with other names. Drew Brees, surefire.
Yep.
Larry Fitzgerald, absolutely.
Yes.
Frank Gore, gonna make it. Then you get to a couple names where you're like, I could be persuaded one way or the other. And one of those names is Philip Rivers.
It's going to be a lot of conversation about Philip Rivers. And quite honestly, that's one of the Hall of Fame guys that I would like to be in the room and hear the conversation about. Not many of these dudes I would, because it could be very boring. And sometimes they go for hours and hours and hours and hours of debating about these guys.
Wow.
The Philip Rivers one is one that I would like to be in the room for and hear his presenter from San Diego explain why Philip Rivers deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And then I want to hear the debates that go on from all the other 31 guys that are in that room and gals that are in that room that are voters that are determining whether or not Philip Rivers goes in. Because I think Philip Rivers is a great case study, test study, if you will, for does a quarterback need championships to get into the Hall of Fame? Mm. We've been told for the last, 20-some years, it's all about those Super Bowl championships. You take Philip Rivers' numbers and put them up there, they're Hall of Fame-type numbers. But the cat has no postseason success whatsoever. And so does that factor in? I think it's going to be very interesting to see going forward. If he becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer and doesn't have any Super Bowl championships, then maybe we don't need to continue to talk about Super Bowl championships for the way that we judge quarterbacks. That's why I think this one is very interesting.
Yeah, because Brees has a Super Bowl, but that's it. Yep. Fitzgerald played in a Super Bowl, didn't win it.
But he's not a quarterback.
No. Frank Gore just played forever. He played from the time that I was born until the time Mac was born until the time we were both in our 20s. And now his son's playing.
Yeah.
The other name that's kind of complicated, which we'll have some conversations as well, is Julian Edelman. I don't think he gets in. But when you talk about what his numbers are, he's like the opposite conversation of Philip Rivers, a guy that had good regular seasons, but in the postseason, Julian Edelman was insane.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was
kind of a Derek Jeter type of player, you
little
know?
Bit. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Jeter was good in the regular season, but always raised his level in the postseason.
Yeah. And Julian Edelman was one of those. You think he gets in, Mac?
I do because of the postseason numbers, because he was so historic in the and because he was on a team that was in the postseason a lot. He had a lot of opportunity.
He won a Super Bowl MVP, didn't he?
Did he?
Because didn't he win the MVP and then that girl did a Snapchat like the next morning? It's like, just slept with Edelman, no lie. And he's like passed out in the bed and she's like taking a picture with him.
Yeah, I think in their last Super Bowl. Let me look at it. Yeah, I think here in the award for his performance, New Patriots, 13-3 victory over the Rams. Yep, 10 receptions, 140 yards.
Yeah.
In a game that had no offense, he was the offense.
And that's the year that he definitely touched the football, and they said he didn't, and it wasn't a fumble on a punt and an arrowhead, and the Chiefs end up losing. Mm-hmm. But that's where it's like at. Like, Super Bowl MVP, historic postseason numbers, regular season, mid.
That's
crazy, but like decent.
3,000-yard seasons, that's it.
Yeah.
1,000. How many years did he play?
11.
I'd say 10 or 11.
11 he played years. That long in the NFL?
Yeah. And it's 1,100. It's not 14. It's two 1,100-yard years and then 1,000-yard year.
Yeah, he did play with a team that had Rob Gronkowski, who was taking a lot of targets away from a lot of people.
Sure.
But again, it's one of those conversations, because the other names on the list, I don't think, like Dez Bryant, Todd Gurley, who Todd Gurley had one of the best three-year runs of all time.
Priest Holmes should be in the Hall of Fame before any of these running backs, by the way. Yeah, and I've had the numbers on Priest, and I've lost them over the years about where he could. His numbers and Terrell Davis's numbers are identical. Terrell Davis has the Super Bowls and was able to get in because he had that national exposure. But Priest Holmes's numbers are as good as any running back that is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame right now.
Jamal Charles should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think you could make a case for that.
He leads the all-time running back with yards per carry at 5.2.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make a case for Jamaal Charles. But again, no postseason success. I know it's a running back, but I mean, that's, I guess that's what your negative is with Jamaal Charles. I don't know.
A name we'd love to see get into the Hall of Fame. Alex Smith is on this list.
Interesting,
won't get in, but I would love to see him get in. But there's just nothing there to really kind of put him there. He's just kind of one of those, like, I guess he's like in the hall of okay fame. Like he
he's
in the
hall
of the Chiefs. Yeah. He had the whole historic injury, came back from it, comeback player of the year and all that. Super good dude, really good at broadcasting, or being on TV. But yeah, just a good name to have on there that won't get in, but it's a guy that you always root for.
He is. But and again, that kind of stuff doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. I think Alex Smith will be more remembered, quite honestly, in the next decade or so for helping Patrick Mahomes become a superstar than anything he did on the field. Yeah. I mean, when you start to list like Alex Smith and what you will remember Alex Smith for, obviously we'll remember him for flipping the script like Dusty talked about. Nationally, they'll remember him for being the mentor to Patrick Mahomes and then the leg injury that he was able to battle back from and how gruesome that thing was. You don't really remember much about what Alex Smith did on the field. And you also remember this guy was also benched for Colin Kaepernick at one point in time, too. And so no, Hall of Famer, no. Hall of Really Good, probably. But he'll be, at the end of the day, when people say Alex Smith, they'll be, oh, that was the dude who mentored Patrick Mahomes.
For the text on Eli Manning is one of the worst quarterbacks to ever win two Super Bowls. Peyton's frankly overrated, too. We move on to what I think Baker Mayfield had to say, because I love this audio. He was on with the New Heights guy. We talked about this yesterday. That's why I want to bring it up today before we go to break. Baker Mayfield found a home in Tampa Bay. Why did he find a home in Tampa Bay? This is why.
You know, this isn't to the other teams and franchises.
No, man. You already know. You already know.
But,
man, you got to do
it. But, like, when you step in and your GM and your head coach say, hey, just be you.
Yeah.
After I've been told at every stop and everywhere I go, hey, you need to tone it down a little bit. You need to be a franchise quarterback. It's just not who I am. Like, I wear my emotions on my sleeves. We've hung out. You guys know me. I'm going to talk shit. Yeah. I'm going to do whatever.
Well, we can't have that.
But when
Mac,
it's time to turn the lights on and go do something, I'm going to do it. So when I stepped into the building, they all told me to just be myself. And so it's been, not to say like comfortable, but it's felt like home since the beginning. And
that's
as a quarterback that's been through a little bit of a journey, you can't ask for anything else.
And I think that's why it works. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's worked with Mahomes, because you have your trust in your GM. I think that's why it works with Roseman and Jalen Hurts. Like, hey, people are going to talk bad about you. They're going to say that you're just a game manager. Go out to be yourself. Go run the ball. Who cares? Go throw the ball when you need to. Baker Mayfield's been a great quarterback in Tampa Bay. He was excellent last year. I'm excited to watch him this year. And that audio right there that you hear on the New Heights podcast of him being told by his GM, like, I don't care if you're cocky. Go be it. Like, mm-hmm. that's what made you good in Oklahoma. That's what's going to make you good in Tampa Bay. And so far, they're okay with it.
It's funny how Baker Mayfield is using the BU slogan when that was Matt Nagy's slogan in Chicago, and he had it on his play sheet every week, and everybody would make fun of him for that. BU, what is that all about? All this nonsense. But that is truly how you have to be. You can't fake it. They always say fake it till you make it, you know, and whatnot. I don't believe in that. I think it's hard to be a fake. I think it's hard to be a phony. You have to be who you are. And Baker Mayfield talked about that. He goes, I'm not a franchise quarterback. I'm not the guy that's going to be in a suit, and I'm not the guy that's going to be up there being the face of your franchise. That's not the type of guy that I am. If that's the type of guy you're looking for, then you've got the wrong quarterback. But if you want somebody who's going to put it all out there and be there for his teammates and try to win at all costs and sacrifice everything, then I'm your guy. I'm just not your buttoned up, wear a suit and tie, look good type of guy. I'm just a guy that's going to go out there and play football and help you all win games. And if you're comfortable with that, great. And that's what you need to have. And so I always thought that BU was very important. And Andy Reid stresses that a lot as well. Be yourself. Go out there and have your personality and be you. Because if you try to be somebody else in anything, you're going to fail. You've got to be true to yourself. And I'm glad Baker said that. I love that fact that, you know, Tampa's not out there looking for that carbon copy, you know, quarterback that's going to look good in board meetings. They went out there and they got a guy that works for them and their organization.
No doubt about it. The best version of yourself is the true version of yourself, and it shows right there with Baker Mayfield and everything like that. So coming up on the other side, erasing to start all over again. We'll explain what that means here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Back in a 96.5 Fan, Fesco, Mac, Dusty with you on a wonderful Thursday. Good night to grill out.
I hope both of you grill out tonight or do some sort of outside activity to cook, as they would say.
I did the Blackstone yesterday. Cooked a bunch of chicken out there.
Did you use?
No,
okay.
I did not. No. Did okay. not.
Mac, you going to grill out tonight for the lady? Throw some kebabs on the grill or something?
No, he's got a big night of preseason football, bro. Like, cooking can't get away.
Which
this
means you should be doing burgers.
This is a DoorDash type of night for him. So.
Oh, yeah, grilling sounds fun. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I grilled Saturday, but my dog ate everything we made, so it was really awesome.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. All my friends were over from Nashville. Yeah, about 10 brats, 8 burgers.
In a matter of
90 seconds. You know what's crazy? The aftermath hasn't been bad.
Yeah, when?
Saturday.
Okay, so it's been almost a week now.
It's like that.
Is she constipated though? Have you had a little bit with the kind of loosen the bowels up? Have you had to do that yet?
No.
A little glandular work back there or anything like that?
But dude, it sucked. Yeah. I was just like, cool, thanks.
She just housed it.
I mean,
where did
you crumbs?
Do you have them like low on the table?
Back on the counter, but I mean, she's a golden retriever puppy, big dog. Yeah.
So she's never like done that. On the counter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she smelled the meat. I mean, it happens all the time. I cooked some chicken breasts last night, and my dog circled, just stayed right where it was on the counter for like 2 hours. We're finally like, what are you doing over there? And she smells the chicken.
That's
it. Yeah. They want that stuff.
And like, damn you.
I mean, a little bit's on you for not training your dog proper. No, I kid. I don't know. How do you stop that? I mean, you got a plate of meat up there. They're going after
it. The first time she's done that, I was like, dang it.
You must let your dog know that you are the dominant one.
No, but that happens. It's hot dogs and burgers. Dogs are going to go after that. I mean, like I was out there cooking yesterday. I put my tongs down to the side. She starts licking the tongs. Like, I'm like, I got to go inside and wash the tongs. And probably should have thrown them away at that point. But, you know, it's your dog. So it's funny how your dog can lick you and everything's okay. Some other dog comes up. You're like, get the hell away from me. What is this?
A lot like kids.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Or women for Mac anyway, you know, with all the cougars that are chasing them these days.
Course,
I mean, did you play? Did you get the song? Are we gonna play the Fesco and Dusty song?
Let me download the song.
You got to play the song.
The song to open up our next segment.
Okay, so ultimately, football tonight. You got the opportunity to go out there and grill. I think you're right, though. I think tonight is one of those nights, man. Don't worry about the hot open flame. It's kind of gonna be nice. It's gonna be kind of. I don't want to say football weather just yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah. So we saw a topic on Twitter that says if you could erase one show from the existing times of history to rewatch it fresh, which one would you choose? 913-586-7965. That is the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Getting to know with Jay's Southland Tow. If you could erase a show that you've seen to watch it again like you've never seen it, which one is it?
It's Breaking Bad for me because that one impacted me probably more than any other TV show that I've watched.
When he doesn't circle around that.
She's not out at the camper, but no, it is. It's Breaking Bad for me. I would love to rewatch that one again and kind of watch it from start to finish. I'm kind of doing that with Cheers right now, going through and rewatching that whole show and realizing like stuff you don't realize. Like I have finally at 48 years old, I've realized that Cheers was so much better with Diane than it was with Rebecca. Rebecca was more in my wheelhouse than Diane was because I was a little bit older then, but now rewatching them and then you pick up on stuff you didn't know, you get funny ha-has and things like that. But ultimately it's Breaking Bad. If I could start that series over again, unknown, because I think that's a hard one to go back and rewatch because you know ultimately what happens in that, obviously. But for me, I don't know. It would be Breaking Bad. What about you?
I think I would go with Dexter.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay, nice.
Because the first four seasons were so insanely good that I think I tainted my memory of that show because of the last two seasons.
Where not I'm good?
Like,
Kind of like
story
The Office?
Changed.
Well, they brought, like the first four, like the last season that's really good, John Lithgow is like the bad person. Like he's like what they call, like I think the Trinity Killer. And he's really, really good at just being a bad guy.
I can see that. He's got that.
Because he's, I think, the bad guy in Cliffhanger with, what's his name? Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
Like, he's a good bad guy in that as well. I believe he's the bad guy in that. And then he plays the Trinity Killer in season 4, I believe, of Dexter. And then season 5 and season 6, I think the last two seasons, like, it ends and you're like, this show really went down the garbage disposal. And I think it tainted the way that I watched the, because I mean, Dexter was like must watch for me. It was on Showtime. It was back in the day when you had to go to like Family Video and get the DVDs to watch it, like to catch up on the seasons if you didn't have Showtime. And Michael C. Hall was great in it. And I probably should go back and watch it because I've seen Breaking Bad 3 or 4 times all the way through. obviously, I've watched Game of Thrones, but that's just such a, I mean, I don't want to experience that again because of the ups and downs. But,
and that's like Breaking Bad. I don't know that I want to put my kind of body through that
you
again.
You should.
Watch it again?
You definitely should.
Okay.
Because you'll pick up on stuff that you missed, or you'll be like, oh, I remember this. This is when he, you know, does this. This is the first time he meets Tuco and how he makes like a, how he becomes like this mad person. But yeah, Dexter for me, Mac, what's a show that you would love Island?
No? Oh, I thought Scooby-Doo or Golden Girls. Scooby-Doo. He looks like
That's
Shaggy.
The Milky Way Galaxy.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude.
Like Shaggy.
Wilfred, maybe. The Office. One of those.
Wilfred's good.
Wilfred's really good. Really good show. Yeah, I would rewatch that
would
just
re-watch
for the twist.
Severance already to experience
I almost
that again?
Said that.
Severance,
said
really.
That.
Severance I've heard that's
that good.
Good. Though, is it?
And it's really, really good. It makes you think. A lot of good texts here. Supernatural, Game of Thrones, a couple Game of Thrones texts.
Yeah. I mean, I watch Game of Thrones, I think, all the way through twice, and I'm halfway through it a third time, and I'm just like, I'm done, dude. Yeah. I can't do this.
Good thing Ned's texting in, because that was his deal.
Somebody says, somebody says The Wire.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that.
X-Files.
Okay. Yeah, I never watched the X-Files.
Really?
David Duchovny, nah, that's not my thing. Yeah, I wouldn't be interested in that
no,
at all.
No, probably not.
The Bloodhound Gang, they watched the X-Files, if you remember that song. But, I don't know. X-Files is a little too early for me. It's like early 90s, so I wasn't really probably able to watch TV shows like that.
I feel like it was in the 80s, too. Like, that was, I felt like one of those first kind of weird shows that came out.
Somebody says Peaky Blinders.
Did you ever watch 24?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard really good things about it.
I never watched that either.
You talk about a show that'll get your anxiety pumping.
Isn't each, what's the deal with that show? Each episode is
in a time.
Time, okay. Yeah, 24 hours.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, great. I love him.
24 hours condensed into 45 minutes for your home viewing pleasure with commercial interruption for an hour package.
Somebody says True Detective season one, great season. Never the same. But, I mean, it's kind of tough when you go all in on your first season with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, and then you're like, all right, next season will be Vince Vaughn. You're like, all right.
Not the same.
Fargo season one, I would rewatch again.
You did like that show, didn't
it's
you?
It's so good. I wish you guys would watch Fargo. It's really, really good because season one is Billy Bob Thornton. He's an absolute assassin. It's really good. It was a really good show. The Wire is another one.
The Wire is good, yeah.
Somebody says Boston Legal.
Boston Legal was really good, man. That was a good
Boston
show.
Market. Yeah. You guys remember Boston Market?
Yeah.
Some of the best macaroni and cheese you've ever eaten in your
life.
And
they went out of business fast, man. I love their rotisserie chicken was better than anything I've ever had.
Kind of underrated. Boston Market was kind of good.
Boston Market, there was times it was just me and my wife for a year or two at Thanksgiving. We went and got Boston Market or Christmas. Boston Market. The cornbread, fantastic. Ooh. The mashed potatoes. Potatoes were top notch. The chicken was just absolutely delicious, man. At first, it was Boston chicken. It was just the chicken, and then they expanded. And that's sometimes when you get into trouble when you try to do too much. But I mean, phenomenal place. I don't know if there's any in existence anymore. But that's like one like now with everybody eating quote unquote healthier. You would think that would have more of a place on people's palates than some of this other stuff that's out there right now. But I mean, Boston Market, man, that was a home run.
816 says Sopranos and that Tony is the single greatest character of all time.
Now that's a good topic for another topic for another time, but it's hard to argue with that one. I'm rewatching The Sopranos still. It takes me forever and a day to kind of get through this stuff on a Saturday morning. I'll watch an episode here, an episode there, but that's one you've got to watch and then probably rewatch. And I'm kind of thinking about the Breaking Bad rewatch, but you got to start those from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing with a lot of these, and you know, sometimes they're just episodes are on. You know, and you just want to like. Mm-hmm. Flip it on, and that episode's on.
What are you watching tonight?
Nothing really. I mean, the Musburger thing, and we'll talk about it with Ben Maller, does have me intrigued for tonight, but I don't know that I'm going to make it up past halftime to see Brent Musburger on a preseason football game.
Yeah, he's announcing.
Oh, Brent Musburger is?
Yeah.
That was my idol when I was a kid.
You are looking live, or you're listening
too young
live.
For him to be your idol. He was like retired by the time.
He was the Big 12 guy all growing up.
Yeah, that's true. He was.
So growing up here, I watched him every Saturday.
Him and Bobby Knight and I enjoyed both of them on the broadcast. I know a lot of people did not like them, but I mean, Bobby Knight would bring a six pack of Snapple to every game. Ask Josh
really?
About the Bobby Knight stories.
That's
cool. It's not why I drink Snapple.
Okay. It's like I saw right over
there. Made from the best stuff on earth. But Bobby Knight used to bring like a six pack of bottles of Snapple to the game, and him and Brent would sit there and do the games, and it was fun to listen to those two guys. But no, I love Brent Musburger. I can't. He always gave the spreads before anybody else was doing that.
Wonder what he was betting on. Your idol was Musburger, and you were too young. Mine was Hugh Hefner, and I was too young. Look at where
we
are. Who'd have thought? Not me. Not us. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into what Kurt Warner had to say, because by God, Kurt Warner's pretty intelligent. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Hey guys, it's Dusty Likens, and let me tell you about my people at GimmeTheVIN.com. GimmeTheVIN wants